last week we began talking about prayer. And I want to continue that for a few moments. If you weren't here, you didn't see Gerald throw three darts with his eyes closed at a dartboard. And we don't usually bring darts and dartboards into the church service, but it was illustrating that sometimes, you know what I was impressed with, brother, was the first shot. He was about 2 inches away from the bullseye. Then after that, he kind of got off track. Did you notice? I appreciated you so much for being a part of that illustration. But sometimes our prayers are like that. We throw out our prayer to Almighty God and we wonder if we've hit the target. We wonder if our prayers are answered or if God even hears us. For some, when, as I mentioned we last week, that for some it was prayer might begin as a formula. One of the things that I used to say when I was going to bed is, now I lay me down to sleep. I won't go on because I've already said it, but it, you know the idea. You've probably prayed the prayer too, or you prayed some kind of a prayer when you were going to bed as a kid. But actually, prayer is basically spiritual communication between man and God. It ought to be a two-way communication. The Lord said in Psalm 91, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. They will call on me and I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue them and honor them. And in Isaiah, he said, I will answer them before they even call to me. While they're still talking about their needs, I will go ahead and answer their prayer. In Matthew, it says, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. And knocking, and the door will be opened to you. Everyone who asks receives, and everyone who seeks finds, and everyone who knocks, the door might be opened. It says will be opened. Praise God. Sometimes when we pray, as I say, we're throwing the prayer out there, not sure if we're hitting the target or not. Or, will God answer my prayer? And sometimes, you know, we know the word, it says that God gives us the desires of our heart. And by the way, I've discovered that those desires can be good and bad. I could give you illustrations, but I don't want to get on a rabbit trail. My wife has already reminded me, don't go on a rabbit trail. But it's basically communication. Prayer is communication with God. When our communication between my communication between my wife and I was quite different when we were first married. It was even different when we were first met. Matter of fact, I'll let you know this. We were in meetings. I was the singer in the house and leading worship. We were traveling. We had visited that church for the very first time. And this wonderful young lady after the service came and she shook my hand. Oh, and I knew when she shook my hand, this is the one. By a handshake. And all she said is, I really enjoyed your music. Boy, I tell you, a handshake. And now it's been 35 years. We just celebrated in June our 35th anniversary. And I'll tell you what, our communication hasn't always been good. Anybody experienced that in your married life? You ever had men? You ever had your wife try and communicate to you while she's in another room? I'm telling you, it's something else. I mean, she's talking away, And I'm in somewhere else and I'm doing something and I'm hearing her voice. I'm a little bit, I've lost 20% in my one ear. My wife thinks I've lost more. Now, for some of you ladies, you would call it selective hearing. Yes, see. We had to learn how to communicate. If we're lying in bed, I cannot have my right ear to the pillow because she's a muffle. It's not good. Come on, guys, help me out here. You know, you really feel the sense of urgency to listen to your wife, and you shouldn't have your good ear to the pillow. So I have to turn over so I can listen and not without having to lift my head up. Our communication has grown over the years. But there are still days when that old ringing in my ear is just, or background, severe background noise, or if I'm listening to something and now I'm really not paying attention, or you know, I'm working on something and she's trying to talk to me at the same time, I realize and recognize. In fact, they tell us that men's brains and women's brains are so different. Men were more one track. In fact, if you've seen Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage or been a part of the Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage seminar, that's one of the things you will learn. Men's brains are different from women's brains. We're one track. In fact, guys, if we have a nothing box, and sometimes we'll go to our nothing box, but women, man, they can do so much. They're really good at multitasking. I don't know how they do it. I don't know how they do it. But I'll tell you, regardless whether we're a man or a woman, in God's eyes, we're both important, very important to God. And God desires, He's always desired to communicate with us and to us. Glory to God. He has given us someone of value to Him. Great value in giving His Son so that He can reconcile the difference that there is between us and Him. Hallelujah. We told you that prayer last week, prayer is practicing the presence of God. Prayer is not just something we do. Prayer is not something that we do maybe on a Wednesday or a Thursday night. We're all going to meet for prayer. It's meeting together, but it's understanding that prayer is more than our gathering together, or prayer is actually more than our setting aside special times. Prayer is more than just going into a closet by ourselves. Jesus said the Pharisees, they love to go out in the street corner and offer up, "I'm so glad I'm not like that guy over there." That's what the Pharisees used to do. But Jesus said when you want to pray, then you want to pray to your Father, then you go in your closet. But prayer is much more than just a one-time or a two-time going into your closet to pray. Prayer ought to be in our life just like the breath we have. It ought to be as often as our breathing. When the writer said, "In Him we live and move and have our being," then there is a part of us that is spirit. See, the deep calls out to the deep. Whew. What does that mean? That which is flesh is flesh, and that which is spirit is spirit. And the Spirit of Almighty God wants to communicate with us. And our prayer life ought to be as often and as easy as our breathing, because it is our living. He is our resource. Glory to God. I'm involved in several committees, and there happens to be one that is a leadership prayer breakfast that it was called a mayor's prayer breakfast. And without getting in too many rabbit trails, every year the committee would say, "Well, this is a well-oiled machine." I said, "Hold her now. I don't know what you're talking about." They said, "Well, we've done it before. She's all good." And I said, "No, sir. Because we need God's help. We need His wisdom. We cannot do without it." "Well, it's a prayer breakfast." "I get it's a prayer breakfast." Okay. "In Him we live and move and have our being." And when you live that way in the presence of God, knowing that the Lord is traveling with you, okay, when you know the Lord is traveling with you, you acknowledge Him. You acknowledge Him in everything you do. That keeps you from pride. You know what happens to pride? It goes before a fall. When I think I can do it on my own, she's not good. I have to have Him. I think maybe that's one reason that the Lord said be slow to speak, slow to wrath, slow to anger. Because there are moments, you know, in the heat of the thing, it's easy to get a mob going. You see. The majority is not always right. And sometimes you've got to take some time. You've got to take some time and ask the Lord. To ask the Lord what should happen. How you should vote. How you should go about doing activities. Now, I'm not saying that we have to become weird. Okay? I'm not saying that. Now, if I'm by myself in the car and somebody sees my lips moving, these days, people don't know whether you're talking on your phone or whether you're praising the Lord or singing to the Lord. They don't know. They just see your lips moving, don't they? You know what that means? In that light, the phone's a good way, as long as you are traveling hands-free. That prayer is communication with God. And we talked about how we used to hear the slogan, prayer changes things. Well, actually, God changes things. And as you pray and as you develop your prayer, there's not just praying in English, but there's praying in the Spirit. If you haven't been filled with the Spirit, you can be filled with the Spirit. Oh boy, I could get off into some rabbit trails that are on track, but they're just get us off into something that I'm not going to be able to reach the goal of today. But prayer does, you know, is necessary, but it should be a way of life. Not just a happening in life. You see. The Bible says God opposes the proud, but He gives grace. We sang about grace today. He gives grace to the humble. So humble yourself before God. Resist the devil. Why do I have to resist the devil? I have friends that they are so devil conscious. Everything that happens is the devil, devil, devil did this, devil did that. Hey, I don't have time to dwell on what the devil's doing. I do need to be aware of what the devil's doing. But he's not my focus. We were supposed to be having some special meetings. We were in Windsor, Ontario. And the pastors we were working with wanted to have 2 weeks of solid meetings. And they said, Well, I says, who are you going to get for the music? Well, Ron, we're going to get you. And I says, well, on Mondays, I said, I won't be available. Why not? Well, I said, you know, that's my day off. You know that. Well, Ron, it's necessary that you be a part of this. You know, the devil doesn't take a day off. And I said, that's all good. I don't serve the devil. My pattern, my pattern is not after him. You know what I'm saying? You know, God, he worked 6 days, created the heavens and the earth. And the Bible says the seventh day, he rested. Glory to God. So I'll take my cue off of him the seventh day, whatever day that is for you. And the seventh day, you rest. So that's what I did. They never did have those meetings. You know, it was quite interesting. Oh, but, you know, we humble ourselves. We resist the devil. I'm aware, keenly aware of what the devil's doing. In fact, last night in my sleep, I was battling forces, and I won't get into my dream. Not for you today. I knew we were battling forces. But that thing laughed with 6 words. The power of Almighty God. Yeah, I can speak words, but it's interesting is that when you develop a relationship with God, when you speak according to His will and plan and purpose, the Word of God, He keeps His word. He said, I will answer. Glory to God. You've heard me say, the Bible says, these signs will accompany them that believe. It doesn't say these signs will accompany the pastor, preacher. I'm glad they do. Brother Harold, you probably feel the same way. You're glad that, you know, when you speak things and pray about things, that God answers. These signs will accompany them that believe. And there are some signs that follow the believer. Some people say, well, I don't know if tongues is for me. Well, if you don't believe it, then they're not for you. These signs will accompany them that believe. No big deal. You're not less of a Christian. Just because you speak in tongues doesn't give you, you know, some rank over somebody else. That's not what this is about. You see. Be anxious for nothing. Philippians said, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And a benefit of prayer was the second benefit of prayer. Not only does it change us, but the second benefit was peace. And the God of peace, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. Peace that surpasses all understanding, but it doesn't come. This walk of prayer does not come with us walking in pride, but in humility, knowing that you need the Lord. You know. How? So you might say, okay, I get it. How do I pray? If this thing is a walk, do I really need to spend special times in prayer? The Bible talks about prayer and fasting. Those are special times set aside, that you set aside times to draw closer to God. And by the way, just because you fast doesn't mean that God is necessarily going to act any faster. What it does mean is, well, normally when we fast, there's a change that takes place in our heart and in our life. And that connection that you have with God seems to somehow, I can't explain it, just it brings you into a deeper relationship with God. How many want a deeper relationship with God? And I'm teaching this about this walk of prayer is because I want you to hear from God. Because I believe hearing from God is for all believers. Paul says in one place, he says, I would that you would all prophesy, and to some that scares people. How would I prophesy? Especially prophesy to God. You know, sometimes I've heard people, I'm sure you have too. Somebody gets a message in tongues and interpretation, and maybe their voice changes, and maybe it's really loud, and in some places, and sometimes that scares people. But the gifts were never meant to scare people. We get exuberant and in our with our emotions because prayer does touch our emotions many times. Some laugh, some cry, some do all kinds of different things. Some fall down because they have the power of God. They can't stand up. So something overwhelms them. They can't stand up. Some people, I've seen them fall forward. Some fall backwards. Sometimes many have catchers because there are some people that, I guess it's a spiritual thing to fall down. And there are ministries that they have catchers. I totally get that. I totally do. I'm not messing with that. But I find it fascinating that, you know, I had one lady in one church, and I might have shared with you the story, but she gave a message in tongues and interpretation. She was a German lady, and she could speak German as well as English. And she called me up the next day. Pastor Ron, what did you think about the message in tongues and the interpretation? Well, I like being honest with people. And I said to her, I said, dear sister, the first part of the message was really good, right on, and by the Spirit of God. But then something happened, and there was a switch, and I felt like it was a flesh. She heard that. She immediately went to tears. Oh, Pastor, 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 you are so right. Wow, okay. This is on, it's on the phone, right? Okay. She said, you are right. I felt it. I felt like I needed to explain what God said. But the Bible talks about some of these things we only know in part. And I've had this conversation with people that felt they were prophets, and some feel they have an office of a prophet. There are differences between an office of a prophet and a prophetic gifting. Anyway, I said to her, sister, you, because she wanted to know, what, do I need to stand up in the congregation and acknowledge my wrong? And I said, no, just don't do it again. Learn from it. We want you to participate. We want you to use the gifts when the Holy Spirit comes on you. I don't want you to stop. I want you to learn. Okay? You obviously heard from God. And that's a good thing. Praise God. She received that. She did in later services give a message in tongues and interpretation, but it was not the same. You see. But it's all part of our relationship building with God. Our relationships matter. We've talked about a lot about this in weeks gone by. But I would say this in our relationship, that actually Jesus probably did more and said more, not just in teaching the disciples, but in him actually praying. We find Jesus going off by himself to pray. His disciples would see that he went off to a high mountain just to pray. There are special times that Jesus would get with his Father to pray. But also, you see, Jesus had that relationship. What he did was, he didn't do anything, but he first saw his Father doing it or heard his Father saying it. And I think Jesus was demonstrating to the disciples, you ought to do the same thing. You can have the same experience because where I am, I want you to be. You see, when Jesus prayed in John 17, that was the kind of thing that Jesus prayed, that they would be, that these may be where I am. He wasn't talking about a physical place where his body was. He was talking about a communication. He was with his Father. His Father was with him right at that moment. And that's the kind of relationship that God wants with every one of you. You say, well, why in the world would he want that for me? Because he loves you. That's a good answer. He loves you and he cares for you. Relationships matter. But Jesus, even in his teaching the disciples and how to pray, he says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I don't think we need to be oblivious to temptations and to evil. There is an evil one who is at war with God and at war with the people that have a relationship with God. So we approach things differently. We have to navigate in this world in a different way than what the world navigates. We're in the world, but we're not of it. We are in the world, but we are not prone to the same mindset of the world. Can I use that word? You see. I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, which is your reasonable service of worship. That's what it says in Romans 12. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, we not only are empowered by the Holy Spirit, but we behave differently when we're in the world. And God does not lead us into temptation. But when you lack wisdom, you ask God, and he will give it to you. This life is not permanent. Our hearts crave something better than the world. When Jesus prayed for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, he was actually saying to us, there is another space. We talk about heaven, but there is a communication space with God. Glory to God. Somebody says, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Thy kingdom come. Let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So it seems to me that that is a key to walking in the Spirit and to having a communication with the Spirit. In Jesus' prayer in John 17, I really don't have time to read the chapter. But if you would like an assignment, read through John 17. That is truly the Lord's Prayer. He is not just instructing on prayer. He is praying himself. You actually get a picture, if you will. The disciples heard, but you actually begin to know how his prayer is structured, the kind of things that he says, what he desires. This prayer was not about what Jesus wanted for himself, but rather it's what he wanted, he wanted to align himself with his Father's will. Read the scripture. You will always find out it's about his Father's will. That is the reason why he didn't do anything, but he saw his Father doing it or hear his Father saying it. There's so much that we do in life that we got to figure it out. We go struggle. And yes, there is a struggle. But when you know, You know, the sons of God and the daughters of God are those that are led by the Spirit. That just doesn't happen when we get into our prayer closet or when we get together as a group. That is something that is part of living this Christian life. Thank you, Jesus. He aligned himself with his Father's will. So Jesus was praying. It was really a model prayer. His disciples heard him pray often. And they began to learn the deeper lessons of prayer. It was constant interaction with the Father. Paul talks about it like this in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and 17. He says, pray without ceasing. Doesn't that sound like to you that it's praying as easily as breathing? Doesn't that sound like to you it's more of a relationship than just a prayer happening? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. Many of us perhaps have misunderstood. We've tried to formalize prayer. We use prayer like an oxygen mask that's only used for stress management. We use prayer in special circumstances instead of just praying like we're breathing. If we simply pause momentarily and recognize the presence of God right here. Why does Jesus say, behold, I am with you always, even until the end of the age? Why does he say that? Is he wasting words? We live sometimes like he's not present. Oh, maybe you haven't done that. I know I have. I'm human too. But you know, in the last 15 years or so, I'm recognizing his voice quicker and quicker and quicker and more often and more often. My son said to me a few weeks ago, my youngest son, Dad, I'm beginning to realize that prayer is not a legalistic schedule. I'm finding, Dad, he says, I'm finding that I am praying. This is my son. I'm praying more often, every day, every moment. And it's the most fun experience I've ever had in my life. I can actually relax knowing that he's with me. I think that's awesome. That's awesome. Oh, yes. Praying, knowing that God is God. He is the God who hears. And you don't have to do anything special to get his attention. You already have his attention. When you pray, you can pray for Daniel, like Daniel. Matter of fact, I was having a conversation with my youngest son last night, and he says, Dad, I feel like Daniel. I said, how so? He said it just last night. I feel like Daniel. How so? I'm praying just as often as he is. He said it again. That's awesome. That my son would learn those kinds of things. Christianity, knowing Jesus, is more than just coming to church and doing a service. Glory to God. Evangelism is more than putting on a coat and going door to door, you know, asking, do you know Jesus? Here's a Romans road. It's more than that. Evangelism is a living. It's a lifestyle. Knowing Jesus is a living. It's a lifestyle. It's breathing him in, breathing him out. Glory to Jesus. You know, in John 17, the very first verse, it says this, that after saying all these things, Jesus looked up into heaven and he said, Father, the hour has come. glorify your Son so He can give glory back to you. You know how awesome that is. Thank you, Jesus. First thing, I started reading that verse and I went, He looked up into heaven. Oh, He didn't close His eyes. When I'm working around the altar, and maybe you've seen it, whether I'm with the prisoners or in or out of different institutions, wherever I go, I'm not always closing my eyes. When I'm in my car and driving, I do not close my eyes. The results would be disastrous. Okay. But I do. I keep my eyes open sometimes when I'm ministering around the altar because I want to see what God's doing. As little kids, we were talking about, we'd hear Mom and Dad talking about praying through, and we were, no, that's not what you meant. Years ago, you used to have tarrying meetings. You know, have you ever been in a tarrying service? Scripture says, wait upon the Lord, and He will renew your strength. You will mount up. Oh, praise God. Those are wonderful words, mount up. You know that word renew? It's interesting because the R-E in that means a return. Okay. Paul the Apostle used those words when he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. The R-E means to come back to. Joy, joice comes from the root word of joy, of course. So Paul actually is saying it like this. If I was going to say Paul's words, I would go, return to your source of joy. And it was so important that Paul says, and again I say, return to your source of joy. Well, who is the source of your joy? Who is the source of your joy when it seems like things are falling apart? Okay. When stuff happens in your family, where is your source of joy then? You see, joy is just not a happening. In fact, I was traveling in a car with a fellow, and he says, you know, happiness, everybody thinks is happiness is based on a happening. And I said, yeah. He says, what I'm discovering is that happiness is a journey. Okay. That's pretty good coming from him. You have to know this fellow. Happiness is a journey. Now, he didn't come up with that by himself. He actually was listening to a preacher, and he was preaching on that happiness is a journey. And it's true. See. But when stuff happens, we have to know that the Lord is with us. So in this case, Jesus looks up into heaven. And he starts the process, because you have to understand what was going to happen after prayer was done. Glorify your Son so that He can give glory back to you. How in the world was He going to give glory back? Well, Jesus endured the cross because He knew of the joy that was on the other side. Here's a great key that actually I initially heard it phrased this way through my younger son. We don't know of what will happen on the other side of our obedience to God. Think about it. Because sometimes in our prayer time, we get instruction that I'm not going to look very good. It's not about how you look at that point. It's about your obedience to God. In fact, I believe that some of the things that we'll be judged for is whether we've just been obedient to Him, whether we've done the things that He's asked us. Look, we're all a mess. I get it. The Bible says we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, you're a mess. Oh, you don't want to say that? But the fact is, we're all a mess. And God's chosen to communicate with these messes. Hallelujah. He has. Regardless of what is going on at home, we still show up to work or church, and we smile and we pretend like everything's okay. We're surrounded, you know, by rows of people that we're all a mess. Here's the good news. Being a mess is a thing that brings you together. Romans 3, verse 22 says, "The righteousness that is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe, there is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Sin makes us really all messy. Sin is when we all fall short of God's standard. Here's the good news. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We read, we are God's masterpiece. He sees us. God sees us as masterpieces. The word masterpiece is a little hard to and difficult to translate. In the Greek, it's homea, which basically means a thing made. In light of we are made, we wonder why we don't get answers just the way we think we should get answers. But we are masterpieces. We're pieces in the presence of God that God is putting together. Okay. And we need Him to put us together. Glory to God. So all of us need to be communicating with our Heavenly Father. And in the process, you understand what happens when we are in the presence of God, a holy God. He desires to make us like Himself. And the more and the more and the more and the more that we are in His presence, He changes us from glory to glory. And oftentimes it comes line upon line, precept upon precept. Don't get exasperated that perhaps you're not changing as fast as you think you should. Okay? Don't get upset if God doesn't necessarily answer your prayer in the way that you want, because we are His masterpiece. He is shaping us. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. He is shaping us. And that's the reason why that prayer is so key in our lives. I'm not talking about just having a casual thing. This whole thing is a casual time. There are seasons of warfare, seasons of birthing, seasons of struggle. But I'm talking about praying without ceasing, a life-giving sense of life that springs up to everlasting life. It's a constant communication. Before you begin, just recognize who you're talking with, where He is. And just ask Him, what do you desire? How do you desire me to pray? How can I best talk about this? When I go into a hospital and I am asked and called to pray for somebody, you know, there's the physical need that they have. But I usually say to them, what would you like me to pray for you? And then what happens is I ask the Lord, how do you want me to pray for them? I just don't want to pray stuff. I want to pray according to His will and perfect plan for you. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, it's a delight. In Your presence, there's fullness of joy. I thank You for each one that's gathered in Your name to be in this place. I'm glad, Lord, for Your word that's rich and full and full of life. Your word declares that man shall not live by bread alone. We'll eat and have lunch and with our families and perhaps even with friends. But oh God, we can't live by just on material food, but we live by every word that proceeds out of your mouth. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us. Take your word and lodge it, settle it in our hearts and lives, that we will become more like you and more loving those who are in your family, and showing that love to those that do not know you or are not a part of your family yet. I give you praise and give you honor and give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, the Lord bless you. Real good. Thank you.